Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast monthly album roundup for the month of March 2026. I'm your host Robert, and man, I wish I had a hamster that could fight villains. That'd be rad. And with me I have...
Oh, this time again, time for... Wait, hold up. Oh, that's right at the end of last week.
I already usually, miss it.
Just being usually Thursday there'd be a ton of us to pit. But it's like, oh wait, that ended.
Yeah. And TV shows take time to film, so it's gonna be a while before we can see more of Dr. King, Rabinovich back from his sabbatical. Not you, Santos. You give me bad vibes. But yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are, the roundup for March 2026. It is simply the two of us now. If you paid attention to the weekly episode, Alex is unfortunately feeling a bit unwell, and he confirmed with us that he's still under the weather and his voice is shot, so he gets to break off for the month. While we contend with some albums, I mean, yeah, there was stuff coming out, but between the two of us, we have about, I don't know, like less than 20? Maybe a little over 50.
This is the weak month. Like, you know, it's weak month considering we're recording this during the end of April, which I don't know if we would have seen in April, but I don't know. It's just been a month.
Yeah. Let me put it like this. I would have recorded this like earlier this week. Well, okay, maybe last week. But we did have the schedule disruption of me being on vacation in Boston. And just a slight hint, outside of like the new stuff, remember, I was mostly binging Yoko Kanno soundtracks. Not that I have any regrets, but that kind of tells you like what sort of release schedule we were working with here. But there still is things to talk about. There still are things to talk about. God, it was a long day. So, let's actually just, you know, get into the foundational groundwork here. So, as always, we're going to start with what exactly came out in the month of March 2026. This isn't literally 100% of all the things, just the things that felt pretty noteworthy in the grand scheme of things. So, let's start right at the top with the week of March 6th, 2026. Your new releases include Denzel Curry with his new hip-hop group, The Scythe, with Strictly for the Scythe. We had a new EP from Flying Lotus titled Big Mama. From Ty Dolla $ign, we had Girl Music Volume 1, whatever that means. From Bonnie Prince Billy, we had a new album, We Are Together Again. From throat singer Tanya Tagak, we had her new record, Sapu Gigi. From Harry Styles, his new solo record, Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally. And for some reason, CeeLo Green trying him out to come back with the new Gnarls Barkley album, Atlanta. Allegedly their final album. Can't imagine why. Then, in between weeks, on March 10th, we had a collaborative release from Aesop Rock and Homeboy Sandman called Miami Lice Season 4. Oh boy, that is a title, and... I did not check to see if there were seasons 1 through 3, but I am curious. Moving on to Friday the 13th, we had a new live album from Dream Theater with Live in Tokyo 2010. I believe that was the last show Mike Portnoy played with the group before, you know, his hiatus. Lamb of God with their new album Into Oblivion. Of course, from Bruiser Wolf, we had Push and Paint. From the duo of Elucid and Seb Bash, we had I Guess You Had to Be There. Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth with her new album Play Me. From Sturgill Simpson, under the name Johnny Blue Skies and the Dark Clouds, we had their new album Mutiny After Midnight. From James Blake, we had a new project called Trying Times. And last but certainly, definitely least, Jack Harlow with Monica.
Oh, that's right.
God. I forgot about that album. I think a lot of people forgot about that record.
I mean, don't people now is people calling them and giving them like weird names like and give them names like they give them names like shit like like a LL Cool Whip. Basically, you know, he's white.
And just remember, some of y'all actually bought fried chicken because of him. Anyway, between weeks, there was apparently a collaborative project between your boy Posca and, oh hey, it's Boldy James! Line, and sinker on March 16th. Now let's move on to March 20th, where we had a new album from thrash metal veterans Exodus with Goliath. From the metalcore group Poison the Well, we had their big comeback album, Peace in Place. We had a surprise new release from the band Neurosis, their first in about a decade, with An Undying Love for a Burning World. From Dylan Brady of 100 Gex, we had a new EP called Needle Guy. From hyperpop artist Underscores, we had the new album You. There was the new Luke Combs project, The Way I Am. Mike Will Made It with Re-3-Set. From singer Naomi Scott, we had her debut studio album, Fig. And we had the new BTS album, Arirang, which is definitely a highlight and totally not something that's been getting a very contentious reception. I still haven't seen that Hot Ones interview. I probably should at some point. But anyway, between weeks, there was also a new EP from the noise rock act Model Actress with Swan Songs. Now we move on to March 27th, the last Friday of the week. Your new notable releases included the likes of Black Label Society with Engines of Demolition, Threat Signal with Revelations, Central C with All Roads Lead Home, New Fetty Wap in the Year of Our Lord 2026 with Xavier. From Yeet, we had the album ADL. From Pop Singer Robin, we had Sexistential. And last, there was the new Charlie Puth album, Whatever's Clever, an album that I am only now finding out apparently has a guest feature from Japanese singer Hikaru Utada. Y'all know, okay, the singer from the Kingdom Hearts soundtracks. And that one Evangelion movie.
Okay, that's some pull we got.
I really do think that whatever Matrix simulation we're in is just bullshitting at this point. But, whatever. The industry machinations work in strange ways. So, yeah, that is pretty much your lineup of things that came out that were of note. So now we just have to dive into some of these. And, of course, I'm going to throw it over to Mark for the first half of this business.
Yeah, so the thing is, March has been kind of a slow month. I only got like six records, which, not that much. Like again, like they had a bunch of stuff to play. Not to mention a bunch of other shit. So I kind of wish I'd heard a certain record, but I didn't. The Aesop Rock album does seem kind of interesting. With the Miami Vice, that's kind of funny, but I only got six things to talk about. And they're going to be relatively short because I got too much to say about this month, to be honest. So let's get this one out of the way first. Denzel Curry and Scythe with Strictly for the Scythe. And I was going to say this just simple and clear. They got bangers. I'm as a banger. It's pretty good. Good, not great. Except that good because I know, like, it's pretty much like what you heard from the last mixtape you did with King the Chief of Staff Volume 2, except with less tracks and same runtime. I think it's like 30 minutes approximately or something like that. But I will say Okay. It still got that high energy that we got from the last project, which I felt like, it's all right. Ain't that bad. Like, I know got them rappers like ASAP Ferg, Bakhtarula, Kenyatta, and Tia Kareem. We got checks like Lit Effect, which I thought was good. in the court, and but we did get some more checks. But the whole checklist is like basically like, you know, basically here's a banger, here's a banger, here's a banger, here's a banger, and the last two do sort of like slow things down. But honestly, I kind of like the last couple of tracks they got with "You Ain't Gotta Lie," "Tan," and "Up," which I actually kind of like. "Up," I like how it was a whole bunch of fun. That was pretty good. Like, okay. If this occurred, like. Okay, he did a good job, and Ferg, like I said, I like Ferg when he does shit like this. It's like, yeah, that's what in the two rappers, T. Karina and Block the Wooloo, was that fun? Okay, they're doing well too. I gotta dig both. Get that song table with both of them, man. But yeah, it's pretty good. I will say, do I miss that Curry hasn't done like a, you know, more conceptual album like he did with my feature since four years ago? Yeah, 4 years ago. Yeah, like, don't you do that like that? Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe like doing this shit. Maybe it takes a while for him to get into my shit like that again, but. I mean, with these projects he's putting out with, you know, with this and King of Yourself, I thought, okay, they're good mixtapes. I'm disappointed. I'm not angry. I was like, okay, they did what they did. Do I want something more? Sure, but hey, I like what I got, but I'm keep it that way.
You never know. Maybe he's, saving his hidden power levels for something.
Sometimes you gotta, you know, make a few short projects first, then at least the big one. That way you want more. Next up, Four James O'Clock again with your boy Posca with Hook, Line, and Sinker. And what do you know? It's another rap project that has seven songs in under 30 minutes. I'm getting a lot of them this year. So yeah, it's another Boy James, the project, mixtape, album, whatever you call it. I don't know, EP, whatever it is. It's almost something like you got another, it's him with the Dungeon of your boy Polska producer, and okay, it does got that smooth velvety vibe going on with where we just came from. Like the two songs here that caught my eye, and there's Children, my favorite, especially because there's a long guest feature with Conway the Machine in on there, which that's Conway. I ain't heard him in a long while. And also got another song like Crime Scene and The Dealer's Cut, and yeah, like. What is it for at this point? Like nobody raps about it, you know he talks about it, you know that he does this shit every few months or so because that's what he does. And yeah, I still mess with it. So yeah. I mean, pretty decent tape. All right, next up, and like I said, this is where I'm just gonna be just mostly short. Flying Lotus for Big Mama. This is his own EP he got out on his own label, which in case you forgot, Bright Future is his label, but he always keep doing shit on Warp, but. I guess he figured we'll open on this label instead. And I gotta say, okay, this EP is interesting. It does have a lot of like these video game inspired sounds, like basically stuff you find from, you know, PlayStation or Nintendo or whatever the fuck you find. But I'm like, something like you would have heard from his early days on Adult Swim, And it's a pretty funny EP. They got some good weird vibes going on. And I thought, okay, it's kind of nice. I mean, I wish like he got an album coming soon, considering all I remember is either EPs or scores to the movies he did. But I'm fine with this. All right. Bruce Wolf and producer Sheffy McFly with Push and Paint. Bruce Wolf back with another project. Considering it's been, I don't know, a few months since his last project with Harry Fraud. I guess this project, it's basically what we all heard about Bruce for his past projects. Like, you know, he's very funny. He's got great wordplay. Got good storytelling about someone dope. And with my delivery too. And the beast that you should be here, which, yeah, like, I don't know, not like he also do something different with, you know, with the budget he always does. Like, basically, like his music gay buddy Danny Brown, he don't want to box himself into some type of beat. And it's an interesting project. Like, okay, like, I do the tricks like Hair Not an Op, and Numbers pretty good too. But I gotta say, this is, once again, it's a decent project. But I thought, okay, pretty good. Okay, this one probably the one I'm gonna try and get, one I'm trying to dissect, but couldn't do it that much. But yeah, Elucid and Seb Bash, I guess you had to be there. Yeah, me cover something out of the Arm & Hammer pile, even though me doesn't Arm & Hammer is basically like, I'm not gonna say I don't do it well, but it's like, it's there. I gotta say, okay. This is really like what I expect from a project from one member of Arm & Hammer. But that producer, Seb Bash, a whistling book producer who, you know, work with people like out with Evidence, Lone Streets, and of course Billy Woods also, and of course work with Alchemist as well, considering Alchemist is his favorite producer. And I can see why Alchemist would co-sign with this, because I thought, okay, this is kind of nice. I mean, the beats are stronger here than Arm & Hammer's last project with Alchemist. And like I said, the bars from music were about as dense and esoteric as in, don't actually dissect them. I cannot, please. I'm not that good of a music reviewer. Going over the past few years, and you want to leave somebody like that, go up and town with somebody within hip hop. I was saying this is a very decent album. I can definitely dig it. And tracks like Coon Speak, which I thought was pretty good, and Hands and Feet with an Easty Knack. And last one I got here, Underscores, You by Underscores. So I heard the popular amount about this project, and of course, you know, my Underscores is mainly due to, her appearing on Danny Brown Stardust last year. And again, because I have a pop shit going on over here, and considering, like, you know, like, the stuff you hear, considering they both him and Porter Robinson, which they toured with him and then last year, and I thought, okay, this is a pretty, like, decent pop record. Like, it does got a lot of themes of, you know, like, love, sex, fame, and all that stuff. Like, all stuff, like, you got songs like Hollywood Forever and Your Window, I Get You. And I thought, oh, okay. Like, it's some good sounds. I could definitely bump my head to it. Like, I can see why it got that claim it got. But, yeah. I definitely say that. It's something that's worth listening to. I could definitely say we'll check it out. So, yeah, there you go. And, oh, wow. Yeah, that's it. Like, that's literally it. Like, that's all I have this month. Like, again, I wish I could have listened to more, but maybe it's best if I didn't, because I don't know. But yeah, that's all the stuff I got.
Wow. Yeah, look, my list isn't much longer, and in fact, like, there's quite a bit of overlap listening to it, so mine's probably going to be even a bit briefer. But I might as well actually give takes on things. That is what y'all are here for, after all. So, what exactly was I listening to? Well, I suppose I should go with my one top pick for the month, which is the first new Poison the Well album in about 16 years with Peace in Place. Yeah, that's right. The band's last album was in 2009. God, that was when I was starting high school. Or, I guess, depending on when it was starting. It might have been somewhere between, like, freshman and sophomore year. You get what I mean. It's a long-ass time. I was a really annoying teenager, and now I'm an annoying adult with some kind of depression. Which probably means this kind of music is perfect for me. So, Poison the Well, veterans of the Miami hardcore scene, definitely a pioneering act as far as, like, the metalcore and post-hardcore subgenres. 16 years out from their last album, how does this one fare? Well, as soon as you hit play, it definitely does feel like they never really left. You just listen to how heavy everything hits in the mix, and it's just really, really nice. That really satisfying saturated bass guitar tone, the very hard-hitting but like still very like buzzy guitars. Of course, the vocals still have that quality of like sort of melodic gruffness to them. There's definitely a lot of, you know, screaming and shouting. It's very, you know, brutal and visceral. But if you're listening to the songs and as the album goes on a whole, there's definitely more of a focus on the melodious, emotional side of things. Like, you definitely get a lot more, like, of these clean, you know, passages, you know, clean guitar effects, clean vocals and all. And I guess that makes sense, you know, for the kind of music you'd be making, like, you know, this far out into your career, as you get more melancholic and introspective. But obviously everything, you know, is still perfectly balanced. Like, they were making more melodious music, like, you know, later on into the albums of their original run, so this just kind of is a natural extension of that style, and it works pretty well. Again, the band has not skipped a beat. It really is like they haven't left. Everything is still really well written. Like, there's some solid hooks, riffs, you know, the lyrics and the vocal performances are kind of a mood, especially these days. So yeah, this is definitely not one to miss out on. Do not sleep on it. Now to go into everything else that would basically qualify as the quick round. So, yeah, first of all, I was digging this new Underscores project. Pretty fun hyperpop tendencies that has some sort of rhythmic songwriting tics in there that does kind of feel like it's mimicking some of their earlier projects, which did have a bit more of a rock, alt, kind of vaguely pop-punkish thing going on. Yeah, Underscores has had some very interesting swerves in their style. Of course, The Scythe, strictly for The Scythe. It's another collection of Denzel Curry bangers with assists from various other rappers. Pretty good stuff. This Big Mama EP from Flying Lotus. Yeah, of course, as someone as a sucker for, like, you know, Game Boy sound effects and PS1 era electronic gaming soundtracks, this was definitely, you know, filling a need that I had. From Lamb of God, Into Oblivion. If you're familiar with Lamb of God sound at this point, that very massive sounding thrash groove metal style, it's all perfectly here. The riffs are hard, the drums are supremely hard, the vocals still have all the hammer, like, you know, hitting you in the face concrete heaviness you'd want. Although on this one, there definitely is some bits of more bluesy grooves and rhythms sort of in the fold. You know, some slower passages just to kind of mix things up just a little bit. But, you know, it's nothing too crazy. It's still going to leave dents in the concrete. Of course, Bruiser Wolf, Push and Paint. The production leans a lot more into sort of like that 808 drum machine, you know, those sort of bass and drums type of thing. Well, not drum bass, but like, you know what I mean, as far as, like, you know, the machines being used. but it still has plenty of that funny flow delivery and the occasional just earworm vocal stim that you just find yourself saying over and over on the regular. In this case, it's all y'all streams come from bots. That's so funny.
That's true. That's true to some rappers, especially one rapper.
If you know, you know. Then, of course, there's this new Neurosis album, An Undying Love for a Burning World. Definitely a big surprise. Like I said, it was their first new album in a decade, especially after some stuff went down regarding their original singer. Yeah, he was essentially kicked out after some very horrible news came out about the guy. But they eventually, came back, and it turns out they brought in a new vocalist, Aaron Turner. Comes from the band Isis. Yeah, that's a very unfortunate name. Can you tell that band retired in 2010? And also from the band, the supergroup Sumac. So this is definitely a guy who has experience with this kind of very, like, psychedelically tinged, extremely sludgy, saturated post-metal. And this is another pretty good Neurosis album, all things considered. It's definitely, you know, that same sort of style. It's got a bit more of the psychedelics than maybe on previous records, but it definitely sounds like they haven't skipped a beat in the 10-year gap. Naomi Scott, with her debut solo record Fig, seems like a pretty good time to, try to catch some momentum. I mean, this is following up on her starring performance in Smile 2, and it's a pretty solid contemporary pop record. I'll say what mainly stands out is that, as opposed to, like, 70s dance trends, this one is kind of leaning more towards, like, 80s, you know, pop dance conventions. And there's also a lot of really multi-layered vocal arrangements, which is a nice touch that gives her songwriting some distinction. Definitely still a lot of, you know, pretty typical pop song lyric fare and all, but, you know, she makes it work. And then, of course, there's this new Robin album, Sexistential, which, yes, does veer back and forth between, like, the kind of bright, dance pop that she's usually known for, and some of the more down and dirty stuff that is very, very kinky. It's another pretty good Robin album. I don't really have much else to add beyond that. And, yeah, that's pretty much also it. Yeah, this is one of those months where I had one pretty good one, some decent albums, no real lowlights per se, which I guess probably gives it a better batting average than the first month where I had to go on a fucking extended rant about some dipshit Hot Topic trend writer. Man, I don't have to do that again.
March has been the month of all month, and I think for me, April might be the same too. Yeah, well, I don't know, maybe it might change. But who knows what happened during the remainder of this month. I still keep getting that, but as it comes up, we have to do things for the April roundup, which is, well, not that far off.
I don't know. God forbid a whole bunch of shadow drops happen on April 30th. Good boy, howdy. So,
yeah,
that'll about do it for this month's roundup. Of course, if you thought any of this was interesting, we'll have a little bit of a playlist down in the description. Check the links below to find us on all the other places. SurrealResolution.bluesky.social, SurrealResolution.com. You know the whole deal by now. So, we'll of course be back at some point with a roundup for April 2026. And more of the usual weekly episodes. So, until next time, peace out.